What is going on, guys? Thank you so very much for joining me right here on Off the Script. This is your Monday Night Raw post show for October 28th, 2024. I am your host, JD from New York, as always, coming to you live from the OTS venue. Thank you guys so very much for joining me on your Monday nights, wherever you may be. Dodgers, bottom of the seventh, are up 4-0 on the New York Yankees, and the Yankees may be going down 3-0 with the game win tomorrow potentially happening at Yankee Stadium. Who would have thought the Yankees enter the World Series this year, bats go quiet, and they get swept by the Los Angeles Dodgers? Maybe we were better off with the Mets in the World Series. I don't know. Doesn't matter to me, man. My team is out. They're already down somewhere in sunny Florida, golfing on the golf course, enjoying a nice Shirley Temple or whatever they indulge in. Spring training will be back in March, and I will hopefully have a better team going into next year than I did this year. The same cannot be said about Monday Night Raw going into Crown Jewel, man. I found myself incredibly bored by tonight's show, by tonight's festivities. There wasn't really anything substantial for me to really sit back, pop open a nice drink, put my phone down, and just say, you know what, man, I'm going to indulge in Paul Levesque's creative. Let's get lost in some story. To be honest, if this show did not have the ongoing struggle between Jey Uso, Jimmy Uso, and now Sami Zayn, this Monday Night Raw left a lot to be desired, to be quite honest with you. I did not like this show tonight. I am actually burnt out from these two-hour Monday Night Raws. They just don't feel the same. Maybe it's just the Crown Jewel build that we've gotten over the last 4 weeks that's just draining the life out of us. These Crown Jewel shows, these Saudi shows, they don't do anything for me personally, and I feel like with the lack of television that comes along with it, to the average fan, it just ain't worth it. You guys have the luxury of not watching. You can go out there and say, you know what, I'm going to watch the Monday Night Football game. You know what, I'm going to sit back and watch Game 3 of the World Series. You know what, I'm going to sit on my PC or laptop and I'm going to play some Black Ops 6. Me, I have to watch this shit. It's what I do. It's what I signed up to do. And it wasn't terribly exciting whatsoever. They're all filler shows. The biggest thing that happened tonight was the Bloodline. And a lot of people are under the assumption that what's going on with the Bloodline now, with Jimmy and Jey coming back together, with Jimmy and Jey now reuniting, it feels a little rushed. WWE's got Survivor Series in about 4 weeks. There will be plenty of time to flesh out these stories with Jey and Jimmy and Roman and Sami now. Sami Zayn is now involved with four weeks left to go. He did finally come into play and come into focus on the go-home show before Crown Jewel. Now, will he be at Crown Jewel? I don't really know. It's not on the card. I'm assuming he will be there and something will happen at Crown Jewel, where he will be there, because Sami Zayn not on a Crown Jewel show at this point is a little off, because he's one of the more over superstars that the company puts in that position to go over there. How will he factor into the Bloodline story come Saturday afternoon? That remains to be seen. But Jey Uso started the show tonight after what happened on Friday. A lot of people were watching SmackDown and said, how are we going to get Jey Uso into the Bloodline story even further after he lost the Intercontinental Championship? I told you guys for the last 2 weeks that it was probably going to be a case of Jey Uso losing the Intercontinental Championship due to outside interference from the Bloodline, And then Jey Uso showing up on Friday night and getting some level of revenge on the people that cost him the Intercontinental Championship, which in this case was the Bloodline. Tama Tonga, Jacob Fatu, and Tangaloa. So he shows up on Friday night. Motor City Machine Guns win their match against DIY. They become the number one contenders for the WWE Tag Team titles. That match was supposed to happen at a later date with the Bloodline for the Tag Team titles. They sped everything up in the hopes of really telling this story and fleshing this story out. So they got their match with the Bloodline on Friday night in the main event. And Jey Uso cost the Bloodline the tag team titles, and we have new tag team champions on Friday night in the new Motor City Machine Guns, who are only here for about 2 weeks, and they've already wrestled 3 matches and are the WWE Tag Team Champions. That's something that a lot of people like because they appreciate the Motor City Machine Guns. If you're a no-life geek on social media who wants to fucking complain and compare everything that happens between both companies, you didn't like it, and then you lost sleep over it because you have nothing else going on in your life. I found it to be great. I thought it was excellent. They put the titles on the Motor City Machine Guns. They established them as the top act in the tag team division while also using those tag team titles to further the story and use it as a vehicle to get Jey back in with the Bloodline, his Bloodline, Jimmy, his brother, and now Roman. I thought what they did on Friday night was excellent. Come to see Monday Night Tonight. He started the show and Jimmy Uso was there as well. They go back and forth and they come to terms on doing this together. And Jey Uso really made a statement tonight saying that people now know the difference between he and Jimmy Uso. He's got yeet. Jimmy is no yeet. We are the Usos. And that was the most powerful statement on the entire show by Jey Uso. Everybody now knows the difference between us. And that's a great thing. Remember when we first started this Bloodline story 4 years ago? That was one of the criticisms. Nobody could tell the Usos apart. Roman was the guy, and the Usos were there as supporting players. They were in a supporting act. They were lackeys, for the lack of a better term, to Roman Reigns. When they get back together now, that is not going to feel that way it did 4 years ago. That is a powerful thing. And you see what has happened and what's transpired over the last 4 years. That itself is a beautiful thing. Roman is, believe it or not, bigger than he is at any other point in his career. Jey Uso is the biggest he's ever been in his entire career. Jimmy, I'm going to reserve judgment on Jimmy. He's nowhere near Jey. He's certainly nowhere near Roman. He's just Jimmy. And then Sammy. Sammy's the glue that holds all this shit together. We'll get to Sammy in a little bit. But they are the Usos. And they are going to do this thing together. Yeet, no yeet. Jey said that he would show up on Friday night at the request of Jimmy Uso, and he's going to sit down and talk to Roman. So that's the next layer. Usos are together. Jey's now got to talk to Roman. What is Roman going to say? How is Roman going to act? Is Roman going to be cocky and conceited and pompous like he usually is? Is he going to be, I'm bigger than everybody. You listen to me. No. Roman cannot go into that conversation like he was when he was controlling Jey Uso. Not as tribal chief Roman Reigns. Roman Reigns needs to go into this treating Jey as an equal, because that's exactly what he is now. Remember, Roman told Jey he's proud of him. The whole family is proud of him. He should look at his accolades and treat him as an equal. Remember, Roman got everything that he wanted out of this entire 4 years because he's great, don't get me wrong, but it wouldn't be half of what it was without the Usos. He needs to understand and come to the realization that what he needs to do if he wants to get back everything that he lost, including the WWE title, He needs the Usos and he needs to treat them as equals.
You earned a degree in the behavioral health field because you wanted to make a difference. And you're needed now more than ever. Through the new Great Minds Fellowship Program, recent Ohio graduates may be able to receive as much as $20,000 in student loan support when working full-time at a community behavioral health center. Apply before November 15th. To learn more about program eligibility, visit highered.ohio.gov. That's highered.ohio.gov.
He cannot come off as, I'm holier than thou. He needs to let his guard down. He needs to put the ego aside. And he needs to understand that what he once had, he can thank the Usos for that. This is more than just what Roman wants. It's about family. And if he wants the family to be back together, he's got to bring himself to really understand that this is a different bloodline now. This is not a Roman-led bloodline. Each of them lead the bloodline. At the end of the show, we saw Jimmy and Jay in the parking lot. Earlier in the show, Jimmy wanted to go talk to Sammy because Jay told Sammy that he's not family. Sammy was asking, well, why are you doing this? You don't need to do this. Stay out of it. They, if you remember what they did to you, cast you off. Yes, they're your family, but you're bigger than this. You don't need this. Jay didn't want to hear what Sammy had to say, even though they are very close. Jay said, what do you know? You're not family. And Jay walked away. Jimmy went to go talk to Jay and said, I'm going to go talk to Sammy. I'm going to see what's up with him. Jay didn't want him to go do that. Jimmy went to go find Sammy, and at the end of the show, Sammy was seen talking to Solo Sikoa. That was a very interesting interaction at the end of the show. I did not anticipate those two to be in the same scene and seen talking to each other. Really threw a wrench into everything. But what does that mean? Now, I think we all know that Sammy's probably going to end up joining the OG bloodline. Because that's the way the match is shaping up. Sammy has no business being on the Renegade Bloodline team for War Games. He's got no reason befriending Solo Sikoa. The way that I see it is nothing more than Sammy trying to find out exactly what is going on himself. He wants to see what's going on. He wants to hear what's going on for himself before he makes any decisions. Maybe Sammy is working an undercover mission for himself, like a Metal Gear Solid Snake type of mission. He wants to see what Solo is all about because he did listen to Jay tell him Solo is worse than ever. Solo is worse than what Roman did. Sammy didn't really understand the words that came out of Jay's mouth when he said that. The same Roman that manipulated you, the same Roman that cast you aside, the same Roman that ruined many lives. 4 years of garbage. Solo's worse than that. Maybe he needed to go see for himself. I don't know what Sammy's deal is, but I like it because instead of going the predictable route, instead of going and putting Sammy in the good graces of the bloodline and putting them back together, they are stringing us along over the next 4 weeks, and they're going to ride this out. They're going to tell a nice story here to get that final piece to the puzzle into frame, ready for War Games, and that's exactly what they're going to do. They're going to drag it out, not too long, but they're going to give you a nice little sub-story for when all of this comes together and we got the OG bloodline at full force against the Renegade bloodline led by Solo Sikoa. Sami Zayn is a very integral part of this entire thing. Sami Zayn was the reason why the original bloodline story was so successful. And I mean that. Yeah, Roman. Roman's great. Jay was great. Jimmy was great. The banter back and forth between all four of them was fucking fantastic. That didn't happen until Sami Zayn got involved. It was definitely more serious. Sami Zayn got involved. It was a little comedic. It was a little serious. It was a little bit of everything. Then it became less comedic and more serious with Sammy because there were real life implications going on there. Shit that everybody watching the show could correlate and relate with. Sammy was being used. Sammy was being manipulated. He didn't like where the bloodline was going. He thought better of himself. I can't stand by and do this to my best friend. I can't stand by and do these things that these people want me to do. This is not my family. Fuck these people. He thought better of it. Turned on Roman, one of the best moments in the history of the company. Tag team match at WrestleMania, one of the best moments in the history of the company with Kevin Owens beating the Usos for the tag team titles. Sami Zayn is the reason why all of this became emotional. That's what Sami does. It's his thing. Sami is emotion. The way he speaks, the way he delivers, his body language. The fact that he's not the biggest superstar on the roster. He just emits normal. Sami Zayn's like one of us. You watch Sami Zayn, he's wearing beat up clothes. He's wearing flannel as if he's fucking knockoff Mick Foley. He does a great job of making you feel. Roman's the star. Jay and Jimmy are going to be stars in their own right. But the emotion, where the emotion comes in, Sammy's going to deliver that emotion that everybody else in this bloodline just simply cannot deliver. We've seen the emotion from Roman to Jay, Jay to Jimmy, Jimmy to Jay, Jay to Roman, Roman to Solo, Jay to Solo, Jay to Jacob Fatu. We've seen the emotion. Sammy delivers emotion on a deeper level. He makes you think, he makes you feel. So when Sammy gets involved, you know that this thing is going to be taken to the next level. And this is where the bloodline story is really going to kick it into the next several gears. This was nothing more than an appetizer leading up to tonight. Once Sammy got involved, that's when we're really going to get the meat, the middle of that sandwich of the bloodline story. And I'm very excited for it. And I'm glad that they're taking us on a little ride and they're not doing the most overly predictable thing and just putting him into the story because everybody expects it because he's the honorary Oos. No, you're not family. You don't get it. You don't think that hurt Sami Zayn? You don't think that hurt him deep? Of course it did. He was part of the bloodline with Solo Sikoa. He knows. He saw Solo act. He saw Solo, felt Solo. He knew what Solo was thinking. He was in the middle of all that. So he went right to the problem and went to go see for himself what's exactly going on. I think Sammy's a good... He's a good... I can tell if you're full of shit or not full of shit type of guy. That's what that meeting was to me. And I like it. He will be, more than likely, he will be at Crown Jewel. I think the match is OG Bloodline versus Renegade Bloodline. I don't know what members of the Solo-led Bloodline it will be. It will probably be Solo, Jacob, and Tama Tonga against Roman and the Usos. I would do Jacob Fatu and the Tongans against Roman and the Usos. That's just me. I wouldn't even have Solo wrestle. I mean, he loses enough. I don't know why they would throw him in there and have him lose again. But I could see Sammy getting involved. And I could see Sammy coming out and helping the OG Bloodline on Saturday afternoon. But I like that they are stringing us along and they're giving us a little bit more story as far as Sammy is involved. Emotion. It's been the going theme for the last couple of weeks, man. If you don't have emotion, if you don't have story, you don't have shit. So I love it. I think it's great. But outside that, I didn't really find anything else exciting on Monday Night Raw. It was definitely a thrown together show. It was definitely a crown jewel go home show. We're going to get into the rest of tonight's show with a number one contenders tag team triple threat match with the War Raiders and New Day. LWO was also in there. Damian Priest wrestled Dominic Mysterio in a number one contenders match for the World Heavyweight Championship against Gunther. And we'll go over Obafemi. Apparently, NXT was in Hershey, Pennsylvania last night for Halloween Havoc, which I did not like, by the way. I don't really care for the NXT PLEs. I think they are fucking weak. They are. But the Obafemi and Tony D'Angelo match was easily the best thing on the entire show. Outside that, it's not worth a watch at all. Even the women's tag team match, it was okay. But I'm not going to sit here and tell you it was a complete barn burner. Those were the first two things that opened the show. And then after that, you could have easily shut the TV off and went and did anything else. They don't deliver on PLE like they used to. Sure, Jason and I will talk about it on TNT tomorrow, but there was a rumor going around that Obafemi was about to make his main roster debut tonight, and after losing to Tony D'Angelo last night and another shot at the North American Championship, that it was reported that he was saying goodbyes to the NXT locker room and that he was about to be called up to the main roster. I will give you my thoughts on that today because that was hitting the news feeds all over the social media wrestling space for most of the afternoon. And I will give you guys my thoughts on that. But I want to thank you guys so very much for joining me here on Off the Scripts. We will try and get you out of here at a decent time. Not a lot going on right now. But Saturday, I will be live for Crown Jewel. We will be doing our thing on Saturday afternoon for Crown Jewel, so join us then. We got a action-packed week. Last week of October here, man. Live tonight. Tuesday Night Titans tomorrow night. Jason and I will be live, as always, 8:30 Eastern. Wednesday, Jesse and I will be live for the AEW Dynamite Fright Night post-show. And then Friday night SmackDown, then Crown Jewel on Saturday afternoon. So a loaded week for sure. Follow me on social media, man. At JD from NY206. Twitter, Instagram, TikTok, and Cameo. Thank you for the recent Cameo requests this week. Appreciate you guys. I am on Cameo. If you guys need a birthday wish, if you guys need me to shit on somebody, not literally, but roast them, flame them, troll them. If you guys need me to push anything you want, Cameo is now available. So hit me up. It's always an entertaining skit when someone requests a Cameo. Make sure you guys follow me on social media. Keep up to date on everything that's happening on the channel. Hit that thumbs up, man. We got 400 likes right now. 410 likes to be exact. I'd love to see that closer to 750 if we can. Super chats are open. Get them on in. We'll hang out at the end of the show. As always. All the other content on the channel, you guys know where to find it. We had one of our busiest weeks of the year last year. Thanks to the soft AEW locker room that can't handle criticism. Ricochet is the latest to passively aggressive tweet us for no reason. I'm sure Jesse and I will talk about it on Wednesday, but that locker room has some serious deep-rooted mental issues. And make sure you guys hit up my sponsor for tonight's show, man, Blue Chew. BlueChew.com. Code JD at checkout. Make sure you guys sign up. Use that promo code and get your free sample courtesy of the podcast. All you got to do is pay the $5 shipping and handling. That's BlueChew.com. Code JD at checkout. And shout out to my Twitch family. I got to shout out my guy, Jay LD 08730 for my 10 gifted and another 5 gifted. This guy gifted 15. You know what? You know what, JLD? You're getting me. Absolutely. JLD with the 15 gifted tonight. We are up to 33 subscribers on the channel, man. I appreciate you guys very, very much. You see, I wish I had that option on YouTube. I don't know why I don't have gifted subs on YouTube, man. I got to talk to somebody about that. Ridiculous. But thank you, JLD. Appreciate you guys and appreciate my Twitch family, man. You're killing it. Love to see everybody back on the Purple Snake. Monday Night Raw. Start off with Jey Uso. He comes out yeeting. Obviously, Hershey loved the yeet man. Jey talked about the eventful last week. He said there's only one person he wanted to talk to. And Jimmy Uso comes out and thanks him for what he did on Friday Night SmackDown. Like I documented, it was the Bloodline versus the Motor City Machine Guns for the tag team titles. And the Bloodline lost. And the Motor City Machine Guns are the new tag team champions on Friday night. Thanks to Jey Uso. Made sense because the Bloodline shut up on Monday and cost Jey Uso his IC title against Bron Breakker last Monday. He said they need to be together to take down Solo and his Bloodline. Jey cut him off, took off his sunglasses, threw them outside. He got a little agitated with his brother. We're not the ones either, says Jey Uso as he looks at his brother's t-shirt. His t-shirt says, they are not the ones. So the last time he saw his brother was a half a year ago at WrestleMania, and they were fighting each other. Don't remind me. Match was awful. He said a lot has happened since then. He said the fans know the difference between them now, and Jimmy is no yeet, and he is yeet. He says he became Intercontinental Champion all by himself. Jey says he doesn't top, or that doesn't top, being his twin brother, though. Aw. Cue in fake studio emotional aw that you would hear on one of them late 90s sitcoms. Jimmy reached out for a handshake. Jey poked his chest instead and says they'll have to fix some stuff still. He said if they do this, they aren't anyone's side piece or yes men. He says they're grown men now. Jimmy nodded and smiled. Fans were chanting Uso. Jimmy says Roman will be on SmackDown. The OTC will be on SmackDown. And he invited his brother to go there and squash the beef with Roman. He says he'd make sure he is there. Jey thought about it for a second, looked up and said, you know what? I'll be there. I'll be there on Friday night. He again offered a handshake, but then all of a sudden, Tama Tonga and Tangaloa charged the ring. Solo and Jacob Fatu were at ringside. Solo sent Fatu into the ring to help the Tongans, and the Usos were being beaten down pretty badly here. Tangaloa and Tama Tonga tied Jimmy's arms up in the ropes. Solo then slid in a chair for Jacob Fatu, who then put it around Jey's neck. This was the same situation that put Jimmy out for 6 months. He was about to do the running Uso splash in the corner on Jey Uso with the chair wrapped around his neck. Jey gets up, throws the chair at Jacob Fatu when he charged in, and then he super kicked Jimmy free from the Tongans. Jimmy landed a super kick on Fatu. He hulked up and no-sold it. And then they delivered stereo super kicks to Fatu and sent him to the outside. And the Bloodline retreated. At this point, Adam Pearce came out and he was separating everybody and yelling at the top of his lungs, get out, get out, get out. And Jey and Jimmy stood tall to open Monday Night Raw. Good follow-up. This was a good follow-up to what they did last week. Obviously, we got them at the end of Friday night hugging it out. But obviously, there was a lot more work to be done. It's great in the moment. It's great that you helped the family somewhat get revenge. But now, everybody's got to settle down and talk things out. They started that tonight with the brothers. Then the Bloodline show up and are looking for blood. And then they get taken out. But now we got Friday to look forward to with Roman Reigns and Jey Uso and them sitting down together. Now, I know SmackDown is taped. They taped it last Friday from Brooklyn. I don't know if this was filmed between Jay and Roman last week, or if this is something that they're going to do this week and then splice it into the show. We don't really know. So we'll see what happens there, but good follow-up. I love the fact that Jay has already set the boundaries. This is important. Jay has already set the boundaries about what should be happening. We are not yes men. We are not lackeys. We are our own men now. I am Yeet, you are no Yeet. We don't answer to nobody. So he's laid the foundation right now for Roman and the discussion that will be on Friday night. They accomplish everything they need to do. And I see a lot of people saying, this feels rushed. I get it. You are entitled to feel that way as much as you want. I do feel like it's a little rushed too, and I would have appreciated a little bit more time to flesh this thing out. We don't know if Jimmy was really battling something and he couldn't make it back to TV. And when he did, this is the time that they were given to sell this story. I don't know. I don't know what happened with Jimmy in the time that he was out. None of my business. Maybe that has a part in it. Nobody knows. But I would have appreciated a little bit more time, for sure, with the Usos to flesh out their story, at least, because this is going to be an emotional them getting back together. Did the hug last week feel a little bit rushed? Yes, it did. Did the tag team match with the Motor City Machine Guns felt sped up? Yes, it did. I'm not going to bullshit you. But the benefit that WWE has right now is they had all these weeks, the last 4 weeks of build going into Crown Jewel, where they're just not operating the bloodline on Friday. Now, if it was on Friday and Friday only, then things would have felt a little bit rushed because they only have one show to tell out or plan out and tell all these stories, right? All these different aspects. Jay and Roman, Jimmy and Jay, Sammy and the Usos, Sammy and Roman, Roman and Solo. There's a lot of moving parts here. There's 8 guys you got to tell a story about. 4 of which have been off television together for the last year or so. But WWE is operating with the Crown Jewel build for the last 4 weeks with SmackDown and Raw. Whatever happens on SmackDown bleeds into Raw. Whatever happens on Raw bleeds into SmackDown over and over and over again. It's almost as if they're operating without the brand split. So that is a benefit to the creative. Do I like that aspect? I mean, I wish somebody would fucking tell me why these people are showing up on the opposite show, but I guess for the sake of story, we're just bypassing that. It's not like it's happening all over the roster. It's just Jimmy showing up on Raw and Jay showing up on SmackDown and the Bloodline showing up on Raw. It's not like it's all over the place. Cody showing up on Raw, Gunther showing up on SmackDown. I can deal with that. I wish they would have given us a little bit more of an explanation as to why, instead of us just guessing. But they have Raw and SmackDown to flesh these stories out and not just SmackDown. So I think that works in their favor. So it will feel a little less rushed. Adam Pearce. He was yelling at Nick Aldis on the phone that he only agreed to let Jay and Jimmy be at Raw, not the rest of the Bloodline. He told Aldis to control his roster. The Judgment Day walked in. Dominic asked who his former world champion opponent will be. Pierce says it's someone he knows very well, Damian Priest. Carlito in the background said, that's not cool. At least he didn't mention anything being Chinese today, which I thought was completely blown out of proportion because there are a certain pocket of fans that just need to be angry about something all the time. And there are people out there that just need to feel important. Wasn't that big of a deal. And Carlito was clearly on television still. So even to WWE, it wasn't that big of a deal. Go find a fucking hobby. Finn Balor gave Dominic some advice. Dominic asked, why don't you believe me? Why don't you believe in what I can do? He says he wanted to prove he could be world champion on his own. Balor left in frustration. And Dominic got his match with Damian Priest. Now, there was a rumor going around today also that it was potentially Bill Goldberg, who was the former world champion, to possibly set up Goldberg versus Gunther at a later date. But there's also a rumor that Goldberg could be costing Gunther the Crown Jewel Championship on Saturday afternoon, man. Oh, I can't wait. I am so excited to see Bill Goldberg potentially back on WWE television. Said no one ever. Ridiculous. Dominic also is basically fish food for Gunther. That will not go over well at all. Ludwig Kaiser. He went one-on-one with Sheamus. This was the opening match of Monday Night Raw. Sheamus does not have bad matches, and this was not a bad match. Not much to this, though. It's just basically Sheamus getting a solid W for himself before he moves on to bigger and better things, which I will talk about in a bit. We go right into a commercial break. WWE tends to go right into a commercial break about 90 seconds into the match. So Sheamus, he breaks up a guillotine from Kaiser by ramming Kaiser back first into the ring steps on the outside, and they go into the first commercial break. Sheamus hit the 10 beats and then a flying clothesline. Kaiser followed with a powerbomb and a knee strike for two. They go back and forth with some strikes. Sheamus hits a big knee strike and then the bro kick for the 1-2-3. Sheamus wins in about 10 minutes and a nice clean victory over Ludwig Kaiser, who will be teaming with Gunther against Randy Orton and Cody Rhodes on Friday Night SmackDown. Now, the thing with Sheamus is I hope WWE is building him up to get some victories, get some W's in that column, and then by the time we get to the Royal Rumble, we can start building towards Sheamus and Bron Breakker for the Intercontinental title to take place at WrestleMania. That is the end goal for Sheamus. They didn't do it 2 years ago. They didn't do it last year. And now, if they don't do it, I just don't think it will ever happen, to be quite honest with you. It is now shit or get off the pot. Honestly. Sheamus and Breakker for the IC title. Bron Breakker loses. Sheamus wins the one title he's never won in WWE. We get a WrestleMania moment. Bron Breakker goes on and then moves onto the World Heavyweight Championship title picture. It's as easy as that. Simple. Hopefully that is the way that they are going. There was a video package with Rhea Ripley talking about facing Liv Morgan at Crown Jewel. Rhea said when Liv betrayed her, it was with malice and ego, whereas everything she's done to Liv has to be deserved. She said she made her own mistakes in the past, but at the end of the day, she only wants one thing, which is her women's world title. You're going to have to kill me to stop me. Well, she's not wrestling Liv Morgan at Crown Jewel because Liv Morgan, who is the WWE Women's World Champion, will be wrestling Nia Jax, who is the WWE Women's Champion, and they will be wrestling for the Women's Crown Jewel Championship. So if Rhea wants to get involved, she's got to wait for either Survivor Series or Saturday Night's main event. And the way things are going right now, and I know you guys feel it too, I feel like everything now with Liv and Rhea, it needs to come to an end. The Judgment Day feels ice cold. Everything regarding Liv and Rhea feels ice cold. It's actually gotten worse now that Raquel Rodriguez is involved. I'm assuming we're going to get that match on Raw over the next couple of weeks. I don't know what the Women's War Game match is going to be. I don't even think we need a Women's War Games match, to be honest with you. I don't know why you force something when it's certainly not needed. Is it going to be Team Liv versus Team Rhea? Certainly looks like it will be that way because there are no other women on the roster right now doing much of anything. Pure garbage collections falling off the face of the earth. Where the fuck have they been? Have they been in anything meaningful? No. Looks like it might be Team Liv versus Team Rhea. And if Rhea's team wins, maybe she gets one more shot at the Women's Championship at Saturday night's main event, which I do think that's the proper destination to do it. Get it off Liv. Get Rhea the title. Have her go into the Royal Rumble and wait whoever wins the Royal Rumble to challenge her for the championship. And then they can go and tell Rhea's story going into WrestleMania. Who that will be, I have no idea. But I'm making an early prediction for the Women's Royal Rumble. I am either going with one of two people. One, Io Sky. I think Io has a very good opportunity to break out on her own and win the Royal Rumble. Second, my second choice might not happen, but I'm making a prediction. I'm going Jordynne Grace to win the Royal Rumble. Jordynne Grace versus Rhea Ripley at WrestleMania for the WWE Women's World Championship. Book it. You heard it here first, man. When it happens, cycle back to this video. It's only a prediction, by the way. It's only a prediction. Jimmy and Jay were walking backstage, chatting together. They came up to Sami Zayn. Jay hugged him and said, "What up, my dog?" Sami asked Jay, "Listen, can I talk to you alone?" He stared at Jimmy. Jimmy stared back very angrily. "Can I talk to you alone, Us?" "Sure." Sami asked if he's really okay with Jimmy now and he's going to SmackDown and acting like everything is all forgiven. Jay said he understands what he's saying about Roman, but Solo is worse. Sami said Solo isn't the one who made him jump through hoops to prove himself. Jay said it sounds like he's siding with Solo. Sami said, "I'm not taking either side, but I'm asking you to be on your own." Sami says he's not asking to take either side. Be on your own. Jay says, "You won't understand. You're not family." Sami seemed a little upset by that one comment by Jay Uso, but also seemed to understand why he said it. And Jay walked away. Sami was very down after the comment. We got a vignette hyping up Gunther's match at Crown Jewel with Cody Rhodes. He told Cody to ask Randy Orton what it feels like to get choked out by Gunther. So he said that because Rhodes is going to suffer the same fate as Randy Orton at Crown Jewel. Rhodes would wake up and finally realize he was the secondary champion. I don't know, man. I'm kind of worried about what the end result of that match is going to be. Ivy Nile with the Creeds against Zelina Vega with Cruz del Toro and Joaquin Wilde. This went 6 minutes. This was bad. This was not good at all. This was sloppy all over the place. Vega hits a dive. They go into a break literally 60 seconds into the match. Most of the match happened in the commercial break, which if we got what we got, that might have been best for business. Vega missed a moonsault for two. She actually hit it, but was completely off on the moonsault. And you know that a move is botched when a commentator says, "Well, they didn't get all of it." Because I do the same thing. "Oh my God, they didn't get all of it." And then the other commentator says, "They got enough. They go for the cover." No. Now this it looks like she missed her completely. Brutus Creed distracted the referee while Julius prevented Vega from hitting a code red. Del Toro and Wilde went after the Creeds, but the Creeds easily took them out. Niall hits Vega with a spinning Uranage for the 1-2-3. This was garbage. Trash. This is why I guess I feel so down about this Monday Night Raw. Yeah, you want to put these women in a War Games match? No, thank you. Jimmy. He goes up to Jay and says, how does chat go with Sammy? Jay obviously felt bad when he walked up to Jimmy and Jimmy asked him this question. Jay said, I told Sammy he wasn't family. Jimmy dismissed the entire comment and said, well, he's not family. Jay stood up for Sammy and said, listen, Oos, he stepped up when you left. Jimmy could tell Jay was bothered, so he told him, listen, I'm going to go find Sammy. I'm going to go talk to Sammy. Jay didn't like that idea because he figured something bad would happen. Jimmy said, trust me, I just want to talk. And he goes to go find Sammy. So there was four Bloodline segments on tonight's show. The open, Sammy and Jay, this, and then the ending. Four Bloodline segments on a two-hour Monday Night Raw, which if you're a fan of Monday Night, you might love that. Normally, you get the Bloodline stuff happening on Friday night. You don't usually get it on Monday. Now, if you're a part of the Monday Night Raw roster, and they have already decreased the show from 3 hours to 2 hours, and now they're bleeding the Bloodline story, which takes place only on Friday, onto Monday now, costing other people opportunities, time in their matches, and other segments from airing, you might not like it too much. That the WWE lives and dies by what happens with the Bloodline story. It is their bread and butter. It is their biggest storyline ever, maybe. And they're building towards War Games. So it definitely has its pros and its cons. We go into the second hour. Seth Rollins and Bronson Reed. I am very much looking forward to this match on Saturday afternoon. Glad that's happening on PLE. Seth made his ring entrance. Fans are singing along. He says he's on the hunt for a monster. He said Bronson Reed woke up something in his soul and he kind of likes it. Reed appeared on the big screen and said he was in the parking lot waiting for him so he could go hunt for a monster if he wanted to tonight. Wade Barrett said, well, that sounds like a trap if I ever heard one. Seth told Reed not to move and ran out of the ring and immediately went to go find him. So the cameraman follows him through the curtain, follows him through the gorilla position. He walks through the backstage area. You see Adam Pearce try and stop immediately Seth Rollins from going to brawl with Bronson Reed. He's already waiting in the parking lot. He jumps Bronson Reed. They start brawling. And we got a big brawl in the parking lot underway. They brawled around a trailer truck. Seth swung the back door onto Reed, who crashed onto another car that was sitting out there. So Seth jumps up top on the car, and he delivers a stomp to Bronson Reed on the hood of the car. So Tessitore had a great line about Seth turning Bronson Reed into a hood ornament. Seth said that the world forgot what he's capable of, and that is just a reminder. So we see medical personnel and some security going over to check on Bronson Reed after he was just stomped, curb stomped on the hood of the car. All of a sudden in the background, you see Seth Rollins legitimately talking into the camera, and it's positioned in such a way where Rollins is on one side of the camera, but you could physically still see what's happening in the background with Bronson Reed. All of a sudden, this guy emerges from the bodies that are all surrounding him. He starts beating the shit out of people. And then he comes towards Seth Rollins like he's a sea creature, just coming out of the waters, about to devour the fucking the town that he's eyeing. This was a great shot. This was a fantastic shot. The things that they do with Bronson Reed, man, the way that they make him look, the way that they make him feel, has been fucking fantastic. This is some great shit. So Reed recovered, tossed some security guys around. Seth went back at him. Reed threw a trash can at Seth, and Seth climbed into the back of the trailer. Reed then gave Seth a running Death Valley driver out of the back of the truck onto a stack of tables that was just there stacked up with a black cloth over it. And then the Death Valley driver laid Rollins out. He was motionless. Bronson Reed emerged from the rubble. And Adam Pearce is there already on the scene. Get me medical. Get me medical. Reed walked away. And Seth was the one who needed medical attention. This was great. This was great. Everything about Bronson Reed and his ascent since he tsunamied Rollins 6 times, he's been one of the better booked acts in all of pro wrestling. Never mind WWE. This was great stuff. Absolutely great stuff. I'm looking forward to this match on Saturday, but the thing is, and I say this all the time when it comes to certain situations like we saw tonight, Rollins was on the receiving end of a Death Valley driver from the back of a fucking truck onto a slew of tables. Rollins was laid out on the go-home show. I said on social media, and I've been saying this for weeks, absolutely 100%, Bronson Reed should dispose of Seth Rollins and win their match easily. I wouldn't say easily, but I would say he should get the W, no matter what. I don't know if that's going to be the case now. I don't know if this is going to be a one and done. I don't know if this is going to be a series of matches. I could see this absolutely playing out over 3 shows. I could see Rollins beating him at Crown Jewel. I could see Bronson Reed beating him at Survivor Series. Maybe we get some sort of elimination match. Maybe it's a one-on-one match. Maybe he wins match number 2, and then we go to Saturday night's main event, and then we get Bronson Reed winning the 3rd match and ultimately winning the feud. Because why else would you put Bronson Reed in a mega feud with Seth Rollins, who is one of their biggest stars, and then not have him come out on top? He absolutely should be the one to come out on top. This is the way that I'm thinking about things. Bronson Reed is eventually going to need to be rewarded with some gold. He is. He's not going to win the Royal Rumble. He's not going to go on to WrestleMania and fight for any championship. But I would say, after WrestleMania, when Sheamus wins the Intercontinental Championship, I would have Sheamus and Bronson Reed for the IC title, and I would have Bronson Reed eventually take the title from Sheamus, and I would crown him the Intercontinental Champion on Monday night, sometime in 2025. I could see Bronson Reed wrestling John Cena at some point in 2025 as well. I don't know what story they're going to be telling with John Cena, but I would absolutely have John Cena tsunamied by Bronson Reed on his way to winning his first match. Because if you guys remember, Cena has been winless in a very long time. And that's the story that they're going to need to tell. A lot of people are already predicting that he's going to be wrestling at WrestleMania for the World Heavyweight Championship, because I know the idea of Gunther and John Cena at WrestleMania is just too good to pass up. I know. But I would not do that. John Cena's WrestleMania should be about getting the win back. Now that he's gotten that hump off his back, now that he's wiped that slate clean, now we can focus on, all right, this is my retirement year. I'm going after the World's Heavyweight Championship. But on his way to that first win, Bronson Reed should absolutely be one of his opponents, and Bronson Reed should definitely beat him. Imagine what that would do for Bronson Reed, that he beats John Cena in his retirement year. See, I'm thinking ahead. I'm thinking way ahead. I don't know if any of this is going to happen, but this is the type of shit that I think about while you guys are out there working your regular 9-to-5s and I'm on the fucking couch, bored to tears with this fucking show. That's what I would do. Bronson Reed's going to need some gold in 2025. And if this is a one and done, he needs to win. If not, he needs to win the entire feud. We're not putting him in a match with Seth Rollins and having him lose the fucking feud. What was the point of 6 tsunamis? I hope they don't get it in their head. Well, he's over now because of what he did with the 6 tsunamis. He can afford a loss. No. No, you give him the 6 tsunamis, you make him into a star, and then you give him the win over the major star. You can't stop halfway through. You can't pull the cookies out of the oven when they're clearly not done, even though I love cookie dough. You can't do it. You got to have Reed beat Rollins. You have to. They showed a clip from earlier in the night of Karrion Kross and the rest of Final Testament approaching The Miz. Miz said things aren't working out with them, so we wish them luck on taking on the Wyatts because they should go their separate ways. Kross says they should talk that through because The Miz is either going to have to deal with the Wyatts, with us, or deal with them alone. Uh-oh. You don't want to deal with the Wyatts all by yourself, Miz. I think you should take Kross up on his offer. R-Truth approached Otis, Tozawa, and Maxine. Truth says they look better without the short guy yelling at them all the time, Gable. Miz approached R-Truth and said, listen, I apologize. I seen the error of my ways. He says they were tag team champions, WrestleMania. Most importantly, you are my family, and I need family more than ever right now. Maxine in the background says to R-Truth, don't listen to him. Don't listen to The Miz. Truth says he wanted a moment with The Miz. He's right. This is between us. Miz says he knew he'd understand. Truth said, awesome, Truth is back, and he smiled, but then he punched The Miz right in the face and knocked The Miz down. And then he looks down at The Miz and says, good luck with the Wyatts. You're going to die. And he walks away. Truth then walked past Pete Dunne and said, hey, Butch, have you seen Pete? Ridiculous. Rey Mysterio and Dragon Lee, War Raiders, and The New Day, Xavier Woods and Kofi Kingston, WWE Tag Team Title number one contendership at stake. Winners of this match get the Judgment Day at a later date. When? I don't know. I don't know. This was easily the longest match of the night. This got, I believe, two commercial breaks. This went 18 minutes. Dragon Lee and Rey Mysterio. Rey Mysterio went to tag in Lee, but Woods knocked Dragon Lee off the apron. And Kingston tagged in and gave Ivar and Rey a leg drop before giving Rey an SOS. Everyone traded moves. Kingston wiped out everyone with the trust fall dive. This led to their second commercial break. We come back from the break. Dragon Lee tagged in. He gave Kofi Kingston a double foot stomp and a DDT to Ivar. Rey brought Ivar off the ropes with a hurricanrana while Dragon Lee gave Kingston a sit-out powerbomb. Lee covered Kingston, but Woods broke up the cover. Kingston gave Lee a backbreaker and set up for their double team finish. But Woods, he went to the top, but dropped back down, seeing Rey come into the ring. Then the commentary team called him out. You were about to do Midnight Hour, your finish. Why didn't you execute the move and then go take out Rey? He immediately jumped off the top rope, left Kofi in position with the move not completed, and he went to go attack Rey. But when he went to go attack Rey, the entire sequence got fucked up, and then the War Raiders picked the bones and won the match. So after that, Kingston was confused as to what had happened and why he went after Rey. Rey went for a 619 on Kingston, but Chad Gable suddenly appeared and yanked Rey out of the ring. Gable puts Rey in an ankle lock, and he could go nowhere. Ivar and Eric hit Kingston with a combo German suplex springboard clothesline for the 1-2-3. And the War Raiders are now the number one contenders for the WWE Tag Team Championships. They are currently held by Finn Balor and JD McNuggets. I'm going with the War Raiders to take those belts off the New Day, off the Judgment Day. I thought the New Day were going to win and then fail and then break up or do whatever they got to do to forward the storyline between Xavier and Kofi. Clearly, there's going to be a story to come out of this match with them because Xavier fucked everything up. So again, I don't know, man. The New Day story has been playing itself out very nicely. Some weeks I think, man, Xavier's going to turn. Some weeks I think Kofi's going to turn. they're going back and forth on it, man. They've done a very good job of making you second guess yourself on who's actually going to turn on who, or if anybody's going to turn, period. Tonight, I could see Kofi Kingston saying, you know what? Fuck this shit, man. You dropped the ball. I left you to be quarterback. I left you to make the plays. And that's the play you make. And then you fuck me over when we have the match done. I don't know what's going to happen. November is going to be the 10-year anniversary of the New Day. So I don't know what they got planned. There's going to be some big celebration. I don't know if Big E's going to get involved. We could definitely see that. Is Big E going to be the glue that brings both of these guys back together? Is there going to be a heel turn before that, before we get Big E? I don't know. But they've done a very nice job of going back and forth, blurring the lines on, is Kofi going heel? Is Xavier going heel? We don't know. This definitely played into that. Now, I thought the LWO were going to win this match because they were actually feuding with the Judgment Day for a good portion of 2024. But I'm glad the War Raiders won this match because they just got back. Triple H loves those guys. And I think the same mentality is going to apply here as it did to the Motor City Machine Guns. The tag team division is in desperate need of new teams to step up and rebuild the division with new teams and give them a new lease on life. Motor City Machine Guns are going to establish that division and those titles the way that they need. Same thing with the War Raiders. That's what I think is going to happen. So if that match is next, the War Raiders absolutely need to beat the Judgment Day and become the new tag team champions. So I'm glad that they are in this position. And it's a great story. Ivar worked his ass off. When Eric was hurt, Ivar had bangers on Raw. You guys remember. He was a standout guy. Then he got hurt. And then they were both out. And now they're back. I think they need to be rewarded for the shit that they've done too. So I'm going with the War Raiders to win the tag team championships. And I hope, because their theme music is fucking great, man. They have theme music that gets you amped up. I hope that the crowd takes on what the NXT crowds did during Black and Gold and starts chanting war. I hope that really catches on, man. Good for those guys. Great that they won. Miz, he complained to Adam Pearce in the back until he was approached by Karrion Kross along with Scarlett and AOP. There was no Paul Ellering. He got mandible clawed by Bo Dallas last week. Kross wanted Miz to help them find Bo Dallas tonight. Miz says, well, I don't like that idea. I think I'm going to go over here. You guys, good luck with the Wyatts. Kross says he would help the Final Testament or else Kross would break his legs. Crowd then started to chant, break his legs, break his legs. So I guess the Miz is going to be aligned with the Wyatts because it's four on that team and the Final Testament only has three, so plug the Miz in there. Great. If you're a fan of the Wyatts, man, please tell me if you're excited and over the moon about the Wyatts feuding with the Miz and Final Testament. But I do love me some Karrion Kross. Jimmy, this is the fourth Bloodline segment of the night. Jimmy was walking through the backstage area. He stopped a coworker and seen one of these random production geeks backstage that nobody knows. Oost, did you see Sammy? The guy told him no. Jay walked up to Jimmy and asked if he's talked to Sammy yet. But before Jay got there, Jimmy stopped and he wanted to hush Jay Uso from talking because he pointed over into the background and they both look over and Sami Zayn is shown talking to Solo Sikoa, who was in a black van. So it looks like Solo was about to leave the building and stopped Sami to talk to Sami. Or was it the other way around? Either way, they were caught talking to each other. And at that point, Jimmy told Jay, he is all I got. You are all I got. Family is all we got. So they got to go at the new Bloodline with Roman and just us and no one else. Jay said, yeet. He looked back and that was it. Again, like I said in the beginning, I like the fact that Sammy is now involved. I like the fact that they're not making it blatantly obvious that Sammy is going to be with the OG bloodline. I think that them slow playing it and getting us there is the play. And any twists and turns and any hesitation, any drama, any more emotion you could squeeze out of it, I think is the right play here. Sammy emits emotion. And Sammy's going to drive this storyline to be as emotional as it needs to be before we get to War Games. That is a win-win for all of us. Dominic Mysterio. Yes, this was the main event. Dominic Mysterio and Damian Priest. This was the main event of a very dull and lifeless Monday Night Raw. This went 9 minutes. Dominic wanted to prove to the Judgment Day that he's good enough to get a number one contendership for the World's Heavyweight Championship. Dominic hit a suicide dive ahead of a break. He tried three amigos. Priest countered the last amigo into a Falcon Arrow. Priest followed with a flatliner for two. Dominic escaped outside, so Priest tackled him over the announce table, and it sounded like Joe Tess audibly yelled out, shit, and they bleeped it out on commentary, which I've done more than my fair share of times in House of Glory. If you could be a little bit more real and blurt out a shit or a holy shit on commentary, I think when the situation calls for it, it is very welcomed. So Liv Morgan and Raquel Rodriguez ran down and distracted the referee when Dominic already told everybody to stay in the back. Did he really want them to stay, or was he happy to see everybody help him win? So they're out there. They distracted the referee. JD McCaffey and Carlito attacked Damian Priest while the referee's back was turned. Priest fought them off and attacked him with a chair. The referee yelled at Priest for defending himself against Carlito, who was in the ring. Priest was distracted. Dominic caught him in a schoolboy while holding the tights. He hooked the tights and he pinned Damian Priest. 1, 2, 3. Is Dominic now going to get a shot at Gunther and the World Heavyweight Championship? As long as it doesn't happen at Survivor Series, I'm okay with it. Dominic tried to bail. Priest caught him, dragged him back into the ring, and hit Razor's Edge. Priest was about to leave, but after hearing Lillian Garcia, who had a much better night tonight, after he heard Lillian Garcia announce Dominic is the winner, he went to the ring and completely obliterated him with a steel chair across the back, which if you were a new watcher of the show and watched this one segment play out, if you thought that Damian Priest was the heel here, you were wrong. He's a babyface. Damian Priest went in there and blasted Dominic over the back with a steel chair, and it came off as if Damian Priest was the heel and Dominic was the babyface. It was a vicious attack. Some of those chair shots were fucking ridiculous across the back. But he was angry. I don't know where he's going and what the storyline is with Damian Priest. He wants a shot at Gunther. He wants the world championship back, but he lost to Dominic here. I don't know. He seems also lost in translation on Monday night. I don't know exactly where he's going. He's actually felt less than as well after they built him up to be a big deal. The entire Judgment Day faction is ice cold. This is the worst iteration of the Judgment Day that we've seen since its creation. I'm just going to throw it out there. Damian Priest and Rhea Ripley were the Judgment Day. And without them, you see exactly what's going on. So if I'm WWE, I am getting Balor out of the group. I'm putting Balor on his own, and the Judgment Day dies. I think at the end of all this, the Judgment Day needs to go away. I don't really have any feelings emotionally towards the Judgment Day like I did when all of this great story was coming out of the group. Now they are completely a shell of their former selves. That was Monday Night Raw, guys. That was Monday Night Raw. So I don't know what else you want me to do. This was a very, very quick, very lame duck show. We have Crown Jewel coming up on Saturday night. But I'll tell you what, man, you'll get more excitement out of Tuesday Night Titans tomorrow night when Jason and I discuss all the week's top news right here on the podcast. So make sure you guys join us then on Tuesday night, 8:30 Eastern for Tuesday Night Titans. I myself am also tired. Watching a show this lifeless and boring just makes me feel worse. So when I come on here, I'm not 100%. There's just no excitement in anything I'm talking about, man. It's just there. You know? It's like, great, the bloodline. Okay, what else? What else we got? We got no Punk. We got no McIntyre. We got no other stories playing out. Crown Jewel. Random matches thrown together, man. Great. I feel like I'm watching Dynamite. Follow me on social media at JDFromNY206. Twitter, Instagram, TikTok, and Cameo. You know what? I was going to talk about Obafemi. We'll talk about Obafemi tomorrow. We'll save it for TNT. The short answer is I'm glad they didn't call him up. I'm glad they didn't debut him. It's way too soon. There's a natural order of things that need to happen first. Right now, you look at that NXT roster. Who is next in line to take the... It seems like Trick Williams is just floating in the middle of nothing. Who is the next person to take the belt off of Trick Williams? That is Obafemi. Who's the next to get called up? It's Trick Williams. Oba is going to be fine. I would call Trick Williams up before I call Obafemi up. I think Obafemi and Trick Williams for the title at Stand and Deliver is the natural way of things. Don't make a rush decision because Braun Strowman's out and you need some depth on the show. Don't call someone up that has no creative plans ready for them, who a lot of this audience doesn't know. Get them ready, get them prepped so they know what they're getting. Give them a little bit more time to marinate on NXT. If you pull Obafemi away from NXT, who exactly is down there, man? Look at the discrepancies between the men and women's divisions. The men is the weakest it's been in a long time. And the women's roster is rocking and rolling. I mean, they may have the best women's division in all pro wrestling. So why would you do that? Why would you further inflict more of that on the men? Why would you take another huge deal away from the men? It's just so weak and lopsided. I'd call up Ethan Page. Yes, I'd call up Ethan Page before I call up Obafemi. And I don't even like Ethan Page. I think Ethan Page could fit very well on Friday nights. Him and LA Knight. We'll talk about that and so much more on Tuesday Night Titans. Should be a good one. Follow me on social media at JDFromNY206, Twitter, Instagram, TikTok, and Cameo. Hit that subscribe button down below. Turn on the bell for notifications. Go check out all the other content on the channel. And please hit that thumbs up. Right now, we're looking at a whopping 578 likes. I'd love to see if we could get that up to at least 750. Very weak Monday Night Raw. A lot of other things more exciting going on, so I don't blame you guys at all tonight. Ali with a 199. Hey, JD, do you like that rock band Led Zeppelin? Yes, I do. Yes, I do. Michelle Moran with a $2 super chat after tonight. Maybe Sammy doesn't join Team Roman. Sammy will join Team Roman. He will be with the OTC for sure. Yankees are down 3-0, huh? Guess the World Series is over, huh? For them to win four straight games against the Dodgers, man. Four games right now to win the World Series against this team. I don't know if that's going to happen, man. The Yankees looking like they get swept. Oh, my goodness. Listen, man, I'm still looking for revenge from 1999. Michelle, thank you for the two. King Mo Jackson with the 199. Which AEW talents you think are better off in WWE? Ricky Starks and Wardlow right now. Those are the first two that jump off the page. I'd even go Malakai and Miro as well. The usual suspects. Kratos with a 48 months Mustang emote is now mine. Didn't watch Raw due to Black Ops 6 multiplayer mode being too fun right now. OTS for life. Thank you, Kratos. Thank you for being with me for 2 years. You are fucking awesome, man. It's unbelievable. No, more than 2 years. This guy's been with me for forever, man, Kratos. Thank you very much, brother. Appreciate you very, very much. This guy's been with me for the duration of the highest of highs and the lowest of lows on here, man. Thank you, Kratos. That looks good next to your name, brother. Brendan Watson with a $4.99. Tonight, I was at a Monster Mash Zumba dance party at my local university. I certainly had a blast for sure. Well, I was home watching a very boring Monday Night Raw, and I, Brendan, did not have a blast at all. Cake with the $2 Super Chat. Sami Zayn is the master strategist. He is. He very well is. Sarit Mohanty with a nice Super Chat. Thank you, brother. With OG versus Solo's bloodline announced for Crown Jewel, what extra are we going to see at War Games? Maybe Fatu's turn on Solo post-match or Sami's heel turn would help make War Games teams more interesting. A lot of that is potentially on the table, man. I don't know where they're going to go, and it could go either way. It could go in so many different ways. This is what I love about this storyline. We don't know what teams are going to be. We don't know how it's going to actually get to where it's got to go. We don't know if The Rock is going to be involved. We don't know if Solo is going to be exiled from Bloodline. We don't know. Lisa, the story just got more interesting with Sammy involved. Don't think he is joining Solo. They wouldn't have made it this obvious if it was the case. No, he's not joining Solo. He is not joining Solo Sikoa, man. Justin Toner with a $10 Super Chat. AJ, the Raw was just okay for me tonight. I had more fun with NXT Halloween Havoc last night. Ladies tag match was great. Obafemi versus Tony D was also good. Stephanie Vacher and Julia are awesome. Yes, they are. Outside the two matches, I did not enjoy Halloween Havoc. I thought it was fucking boring. Micah. JD, I missed the gaming stuff. Can you do more on here? I don't know yet, bro. I'm not having a good time with Black Ops 6. I hate most of the multiplayer maps. The only maps that I actually enjoy playing are Subsonic Derelict, to be honest with you. One of the beta maps. Lowdown. The little Italian village, I think, that's like underwater. I mean, I just... The game is not good. The game is too fast. How about that? The gunplay is great. The game is too fucking fast. The maps are too small. I mean, I'm spawning in and I don't even know where I'm being shot from. There's no thought. There's legitimately no thought. Like, when I come out of the spawn, I'm like, all right, I'm going to go over here. Let me map out the certain movements I want to make. And I, as soon as I get out of the spawn, I'm being fucking shot dead. I can't move fucking 10 feet out of the spawn without being shot in 6 fucking directions. Hollywood guy. $5 Super Chat. Jay, did you hear that WWE declined AJ Styles a Hall of Fame induction in TNA? Your thoughts? But Rhino was inducted yesterday. And you want it, and there are some people that think this WWE TNA partnership is good for TNA, right? Yeah, fuck out of here. HC Kevin 20 with a 2. JD, will you dress for Halloween or give candy out? Well, the neighborhood is very big into Halloween, and I'm dressing as Snorlax this year from Pokemon. Why? I like to sleep. Exactly what I'm going to go do now. As my guitar gently weeps, man. David, you got to go listen to the Prince version of that song. Tom Petty and Prince, man. Oh, my goodness. One of the best guitar solos live that you will ever hear, man. Guys, thank you very much for all your support. I'm about to get out of here. I appreciate you guys very much, man. This was a lame duck show. Audience tonight proved it. There's just so much other shit going on right now. That WWE, it just feels less than, honestly. Shows like this just feel completely missable, man. Doesn't offer any excitement. Shows like this happen, man, I don't want to be here. Hopefully you enjoyed what I delivered, man. But I'm getting out of here. I'm going to hop on Black Ops 6 right now. I'm going to hop on Black Ops 6. Play some multiplayer right now. Jason, the Solid Monster, and I will be live tomorrow night, TNT. That's the most important thing. You guys know the deal, man. Go check out all the other content on the channel. Make sure you hit that subscribe button. And please hit that thumbs up on the way out. And I'll see you tomorrow night, episode 71 of TNT. Right here on OTS. I'll see you guys later.